Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, welcome to WWD's Voices and Happy New Year. Today we have a really special guest, Chris Fox, who is the Chief Sustainability Officer at HanesBrands. Welcome to WWD Voices. My name is Arthur Zachwitz. Today we have a special guest, Chris Fox, who is the Chief Sustainability Guru. Is that for HanesBrands. And before we get started, we're going to talk about sustainability. But the question of the day is boxes or briefs?
How about both? How about the politically correct answer in both? We love them all, right? We make a lot of underwear. We love them all.
So, you offer a lot. I mean, HanesBrands, you get this tops, bottoms. You have innerwear, lots of
Champion.
Stuff, right?
Yep.
You know, right, big, good brands. Tell us about, you know, before we started hitting the record button, you had mentioned what differentiates HanesBrands from others in the market on the sustainability front. Maybe walk us through that.
Yeah, sure.
And kind of the core, the pillars of that guides and helps informs your business strategies.
Sure. And first of all, Arthur, thanks again so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm thrilled to have the opportunity. And as I was mentioning before we hit the record button, we really are unique in this space. There are only a couple of others like us. In that we own the vast majority of our own supply chain, the sewing operations, the textile operations, and we have roughly 50,000 or so manufacturing level employees around the world, and have for literally going back 100 years. We literally start as a manufacturing company, and have taken that through our history, and because of that, because they're our own people. They're our own management teams. It's our brick and mortar. They're our communities. That's the communities where all of our people are living and working and raising their kids, just like you and I, right? We come at the sustainability issues from a really different perspective than the vast majority of the rest of the industry that has that pure contracted model, that 100% of their supply chain is somebody else's, and that lens, we think, has us thinking about these issues really differently than most.
I think what are the challenges? Let's step back a little bit. What are the challenges of, I mean, just in general, the industry, like, what does it face? Like, what do we have to do to really move the needle on sustainability as an industry? Does it mean owning the supply chain?
I don't think, I think it's a huge advantage from a sustainability perspective when you own it. You've got, and again, kind of they're your people, they're your facilities. You've got direct visibility to them, right? You've got direct relationships with them. You can impact them that much more directly. And conversely, and how it, I think it's become such an advantage for us, is that we can invest in them and invest in sustainability projects and actually get the direct financial return.
Right.
And where we've been so successful in that space is our big focus on renewable energy. We've invested millions of dollars in biomass facilities, renewable steam and power facilities at our two big textile mills. And quite honestly, and we've said this publicly in a range of forums over the years, that's literally saved us hundreds of millions of dollars over the last 15 years.
And that's a good point, because you also have to have a different window, a different, when you're setting goals, right?
Absolutely.
You're not talking quarter to quarter. You're talking longer term return on investment, right?
Absolutely. And when you're the entity that gets the benefit of those financial, direct financial benefits to those investments, you're much more likely to make them. At the end of the day, we've got the kind of the ultimate close relationship in owning them. But I think what we're seeing the trend in the industry, and for us, it's that remaining 30%. For most, it's the 100%. Is much closer relationships with your supply chain, and I think that there's both the necessity and the drive, the directive from so many of our stakeholders to know our supply chains that much better, and be able to trace back into our supply chains that much more effectively, and so I think that there's a lot of pressure, and for us it's not as great because of that own model, but there's a lot of pressure out there to know your supply chain that much better than you did, especially 5-10 years ago.
Walk us through the three P's, the people, yeah. Product, planet.
Yeah, sure. Happy to. I think it's a bit of an outgrowth of our model, too, is because we own so much of that manufacturing, we really think about these issues very holistically, right? It's sustainability for us is not just about how much recycled polyester shows up in a t-shirt, right? It's about the full swath of what we've defined as our three main pillars of people. You know, your impact on people, your impact directly on the employees that you are employing, our associates. It's our communities. It's the local community that we're living and working in. It is about our planet as well. What is our energy portfolio? For us, it's a move to renewables and a goal to get to 100% renewable electricity. And it is about product, right? That's an important aspect of it as well. We want to move to 100% sustainable cotton and recycled or biodegradable polyester, for example. But for us, it's not just about any one of those pieces. It really is about all three and thinking about these issues really holistically.
What is the how do you approach the transparency? We hear a lot of consumers, they want to support purpose-driven brands that, yep. That are sustainable and have ethical practices. How do you do that? How do you show consumers that you're doing that stuff?
Well, when we launched our new set of long-term goals, our 2025 and 2030 goals, and it's just about 2 years ago, we did so through HBISustains.com. And that's our website, our public reporting vehicle, where we have, and it is packed full of information, and certainly encourage all the listeners to go there, take a look. There's a tremendous amount of detail there. There's some summer reports that are easily downloadable. But we think transparency is critically important. And again, I think the customer's demanding it, the consumers are demanding it, the investors are demanding it. Regulators are demanding it more and more. I really do believe this is going to become much more regulated space going forward. And being really transparent about what we do, we think is really important to meet those stakeholder needs. And our tool, our vehicle, is that HBI Sustains website.
But you mentioned the customers, your retail partners. How does that work? I mean, I imagine, 10, 15 years ago, folks were trying to be more sustainable. It was kind of some awkward steps. Are you in step with your retail partners and their goals? And how does that work?
Yeah, absolutely we are. We've had longstanding, I've been in the space for a long time, probably 15 plus years directly in the space. And have worked with our major retail partners almost the entire time. And so I've said to many, and I think many, many agree, many of these issues are climate, for example, right? It is our big, really complex issues that none of us are going to be able to figure out on our own, right? You know, packaging, for example, you know, we're not going to be able to make the types of strides that we want to on packaging without having our retail partners on board. And we can't do this alone. And we've recognized for a long time that you need to be working with a range of others, including your big retail partners on these issues if we're going to move the needle. So we've had longstanding relationships with our key retail customers in this space.
Talk about, if you can, you know, maybe I'm a retailer, maybe a manufacturer, vendor. Where do I start if I'm going to set sustainability goals?
That's a good question.
I want to do good. Where do I start?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, actually. And obviously, we're a big enterprise. We've been around a long time. We've focused on these issues for a long, long time. This is not new space to us. You know, as I said, I've been, you know, directly involved in leading this work here at this company for 15 plus years. But I think to step back, especially for smaller companies that aren't packed full of the resources that we've got as a larger one, is starting small and starting, you know, I think in space that's most relevant to you and or that you're most passionate about. You as an organization may be most passionate about the people aspects of sustainability. And so focus on that. There are a lot, because the barrier to entry is pretty small, there are a lot that are focused on product. You know, what are the things that I can do around my small niche brand from a product perspective that are meaningful? So I think it's, quite frankly, I think it's focusing first on the things that you and your organization are most passionate about and grow it from there.
What is the, so you mentioned you've been in this space 15 years. What has changed? Maybe the arc of an evolution of, you know, let's be more sustainable. Let's implement these practices.
You know, another good question, Arthur. I've seen a lot of change over the years, and it's not just within this industry, but I think it's about ESG and sustainability as a whole. In the apparel space, it really started, and this is goes back. I've been with the company for pushing 25 years, and this goes back to my early days at the company. In the apparel space, most of the external pressure was more on the labor side, the human rights side, than it was on environmental. We have been very engaged in our human rights program, our labor compliance program for, you know, pushing 25 years. And I've seen the emphasis, and again, if you're talking about the three pillars, the emphasis heavily on people 15, 20 years ago. Now, like a lot of other things, moving more so into the environment and into product. And certainly the ramp up of the focus on energy, on climate, on greenhouse gas emissions has grown exponentially really in the last 5 years. And as I was saying, I think the forward trend and going backwards from labor to the first real focus on the environment has largely been voluntary, right? Mm-hmm. It has been third-party stakeholder pressure and directives to push companies to go in a certain direction. But what I think now is happening, the kind of the voluntary nature of what you do in the space is now turning into regulated.
Policy-driven,
regulator-driven, lawyer-driven. I'm a lawyer by training, a reformed lawyer by choice. But I think it's going to go from voluntary space to, quite frankly, fairly heavily regulated space in the next 5 to 10 years. So that's where I see things going.
Where is the, I guess, the moment when, you know, the industry says, okay, we have to be more aggressive, or for example, like you look at inflation and the price of energy, it keeps going up, right? So is that a wake up call for a lot of companies? And I'm sure you guys feel the impact as well. And so, like, when is that tipping point where you say, okay, this is the moment, have we reached it?
And reached kind of what moment? What do you mean by that?
You know, I mean, this may sound a little harsh. Yeah. I mean, a lot of companies out there that just can kind of do greenwashing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
When is the moment when we say, okay, now we really have to address this? You know, whether it's climate, whether it's, dyes in products.
Yeah. No, I think the moment is now. I think, and certainly in the discussions we have with, you know, the kind of that broad range of stakeholders, the time is now. And again, we've been at this for a long time and believe that it's just the right way to run a business, for decades, literally. And there are a lot of folks in the last 3 to 5 years that have kind of jumped on this bandwagon, right? Because it seemingly is what people want to hear. And that certainly is not us. But again, kind of, I think at the end of the day, the time is now. The time to take it seriously is now, for a whole range of right reasons. And for those that don't believe it's the right time, a regulator is going to tell you it's the right time. So you can jump on and be serious about this because it's the right thing to do, and you should. But even if you don't, some other third party is going to tell you you have to, so you might as well get over it.
All right, so we're going to we just have a few minutes left, but we're going to circle back to the first thing we talked about, which is having owning the supply chain, right? So when I think about that it's good business, right? So it's sustainable and it's good for the bottom line, right?
Absolutely. No, I listen, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, you know, our big focus on renewables, and this is going back 15 years, Arthur, has literally saved us hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And as we launched our packaging reduction goals, our plastic reduction goals, my focus and my kind of mandate to our team, our relatively small team that are driving these things, is let's go after this first on how it can save us money. And if we can figure out ways in packaging reduction to save millions of dollars, we're going to hit our sustainability goals. And we're also going to pull the CFO along for the ride, even that much more so than he otherwise might have been. And so there are a tremendous amount of cost savings opportunities in particular in this space. And honestly, our focus just in the last year, our heightened focus just in the last year, on packaging, just chatting with one of my team members earlier this week, we're going to probably save between $5 and $7 million this year. Real money, you know, even for a big enterprise, real money. And so, it's the right way to run a business from a legal and ethical perspective, honestly. But it absolutely can have direct and immediate impact on the P&L. And I think you've got to talk to both audiences,
right?
I think to be effective, you've got to go after these issues for all the right reasons, but you also need to go after them from the perspective of how it can have immediate positive financial impact on your company.
And does Wall Street get it? Are they supportive?
Absolutely. Not only supportive, but demanding of the efforts. The investor community, I've said for a number of years now, in fact, I've got a couple of calls next week, that 5 years ago, we were talking to the investor community about this space a couple times a year, maybe. And now it's multiple times per quarter. Yeah. And so the investor community is not only supportive, but it's an expectation of the investor community.
So in closing, you mentioned that you kind of a heightened priority is around packaging.
Yeah.
Anything else on the horizon that, we need to keep an eye out on?
I think, and again, it's probably not a hyper focus on any one thing. As we've talked over the last 15 or 20 minutes, for us, it is a focus on all of it. It is people, arguably to us, and I think to many, the most important of any of the pillars, a continued big focus on our people in particular. a real heavy focus on scope three emissions. And one thing we haven't talked about yet is the work that we're doing with P&G around cold water wash.
Okay.
And convincing the consumer that they should wash in cold, and really excited about that partnership. In fact, I have some more discussions on tap with the P&G folks next week. And what a lot of folks don't know, and my guess is it'll be, you know, a large number of the listener group, is the very vast majority of the greenhouse gases emitted over the life cycle of, say, a T-shirt, and this is going from the cotton field to when it's finally disposed of, actually occur in the laundry room. And the vast majority of that is simply from heating water to wash in hot. And you really don't need to wash in hot to effectively clean your clothes. And if we can convince the world to wash in cold, that is probably the biggest impact that we can have in the life cycle of a garment. And so you're going to see and hear a lot more about that in the coming years through our partnership with P&G.
Yeah, it's a great company. You guys are a great company too. That's an education ploy, right?
It is an education. That's absolutely it is. That's exactly what it is.
Chris, thank you so much. Listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. And thank you.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Thanks, Arthur.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.